Just curious, how many actually stay up till midnight to watch something drop somewhere? Depends on where you are. All right, we got one person. Usually I stay up now. I'm getting old. So I used to stay up and watch everything across the country. You know, so each time zone, except for Hawaii. I wouldn't stay up for Hawaii. But I would stay up and watch all the things all night long. Now I'm like, you know, I have family out in Minnesota. So usually I stay up an hour later, you know, till 1 o'clock, I watch for, and I don't know even this year if I'm going to watch anything happen in the middle of the country. But I think everyone would agree that this year has really just been a battle. Everything has just been hard, right? No matter what you wanted to do, it's just harder. Even our mail system, we talk about Christmas. There's a few things I had to give a picture of because somehow I have one item that's supposed to come here from Ohio, but it's stuck in Texas. Why it ended up down in there? One thing did show up on Christmas Eve, which I was excited over, but it came to, you know, what, the distribution center of Southern Maine. I don't even know where that one is. I don't know if that's Portland, but got there. And the next thing you know, it popped up in Callis. You know, so it's like, it's just everything. Nothing has been easy. I think I still have one more thing. I think when something came yesterday for my wife, I had to give her a picture of. I got one more thing, and that's the one down in Texas. And it's been sitting down in Texas for a week. And so Christmas is going to just keep on going this year. We'll see when it will show up. But, you know, everything has been just hard. It's been a battle, I think, a lot of people financially. It was the uncertainties. This morning they were coming out with unemployment rates. Businesses has just been struggling and closed because of all this. I know lots of families who, because of the tensions this has caused, has just ripped families apart because of the tensions that's there. Many people are feeling isolated in the midst of all this. And so this has just been a year of real battles, and I think it's to our benefit to kind of look back, and I wanted to kind of take the last Sunday of the year to really kind of take a look back a little bit and kind of, you know, what are some of the lessons that we could take over from this? Because God is awesome, and God is able to use all these things for his good. Now, I know I've learned a lot of lessons this year. There's things that I didn't even know how to do, you know, 8 months ago, you know, that I figured up along the way. And the Lord has just worked out details and brought people in my life to show me. But God is still on the throne. God's been working. I was just reflecting back, even as far as the church goes. You know, we've had a couple nights ago, we had a Christmas Eve service, and, you know, we had 43 people, which is one of the larger ones we've had to see people come. That personally, I've done, 7-8 funerals this summer, done 3 weddings. It's just been, you know, we turn around and have the baptismal service, and we get 6 people get baptized in the middle of all of this. And God's still working, and he's teaching us and using these things. Now, I don't say God shut down the whole world with COVID just to teach me a lesson. I'm not quite that self-centered. But God can use all of this to really bring the light. I think there's a lot of people who are now looking and searching because of all this. And that's a good place to be. But I wanted to pick up some lessons, sort of from the battlefield, lessons from the battle that we have been in. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 7. So if you have your Bibles, Joshua chapter 7. But Joshua chapter 7 is an interesting chapter. I love the book of Joshua, just to get a running start. You have Israel who left Egypt. You know, let my people go, right? You guys know that famous lie. God sent the plagues and delivered Israel from Egypt. They came into the wilderness. They came to the promised land. And because of their lack of faith, they ended up wandering for 40 more years in the wilderness. After that 40 years, they came back to the Jordan. And Moses passes away. Now the reins have been passed off to Joshua. Hence that we got the book Joshua. The first place they came to was Jericho. Every time I think of Jericho, I don't know who's saying it. My mom would play an album, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. But the walls came tumbling down. Yeah, okay, thank you. But that was just, as they came up through there, Joshua was just overwhelmed. How are we going to win this battle? God says, I got this. And he told them, he said, look, I want you to take the people, go all around the city. Once each day for 7 days. And the last day, go around seven times and then blow a trumpet and the walls came down. And here, little Israel was able to conquer the city with this massive wall. And they had the victory that day because they did what the God wanted, right? They're sort of on the mountaintop, right? Have you ever had that in your life where things are just going well? Right? Have you ever been to that point where God was just blessing you and you were just victorious in your Christian life and you're like, woohoo, yeah, things are going good. It's hard to believe. If you go back just a year ago, right? Just a year ago, I was probably doing a similar sermon going into 2021, going into 2020. Folks, 2019 was a good year. We've seen attendance growing here at the church where people were getting baptized. We had some folks join the church. It was exciting. I remember just thinking, oh, wow, 2020 is going to be so great. It started off good. January, February, and then March. Right? But we look at these victories, and Israel was victorious. And then the next city up was this little city called Ai. Joshua chapter 7 verse 2 says this. It says, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is by Beth Avel, and on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. Here they had just been victorious with this major city that no one thought that Israel would have a chance on. And God gave them this wonderful victory. So Joshua goes, okay, the next city, what's next? And he goes, oh, there's Ai. So he sent some spies out, just like he did at Jericho. He sent some spies out. They checked it all out. Here's the response, verse 3. It says, and they returned to Joshua and said, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and take Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are what? Few. So the spies come back. And they're like, I don't know if these are the same spies that checked out Jericho, but these guys came back and said, oh, Joshua, this is going to be a piece of cake, right? We just defeated the major enemy. Now this is going to be so easy for us. So much so, just give us 2,000, maybe 3,000. Just give us a few guys. Don't even bother all the troops. We don't need all the troops because Ai is just a small little place. We got this. Coming in after a couple of years of things going really well. Probably my attitude going into 2020 was, oh, we got this. This is a piece of cake. Can I tell you something in our lives? Oftentimes it's the small things that trip us up, isn't it? Because we drop our guard. Sometimes we relax and we don't pray like we said. It's finding it interesting that Joshua doesn't seek the Lord here. Now in Joshua, he fought the battle of Jericho. He sought out the Lord and said, look, how are we going to do this, right? This is too big for us. And it drove Joshua to his knees. But Ai, this little place, he doesn't even pray about it. Oh, this isn't even worth bothering God about. We got this. Well, Joshua chapter 7 picks up and says, and so about 3,000 men went up from there, from the people. But they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men. Here the army came up. And this army that had won this great battle just a few days before now were tucking their tails between their legs and running back home. They lost the battle to this little place called Ai. Folks, as we get into the battles of this life, and my fear going into 2021, I can't even hard to say that word now, in 2021, if we don't learn the lessons from this year, folks, we'll repeat them. And one of the things that Israel should have learned was not to become what? Overconfident. Not become overconfident. Right? They had gotten to the point where God had given them the victory, but guess what happened? We did it. We don't need to pray about this. Look at all the good things that's happening in my life. Look at all the things that I've done, everything I've accomplished. Be careful. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 says this. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in what? Man. And makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. One of the big fears that I have going into the next year is that people are going to start looking at who we have in Washington or who we have in Augusta, who won the elections, and saying, you know, if we only got the right person in here, then you know, we got things all taken care of. And maybe your candidate won whatever election it was. And you're like, oh yeah. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're putting your trust in Washington or Augusta, it's in the wrong place. And folks, going in this year, I think it is for the church's benefit to be praying harder for our country than ever before. In our lives and for the church and all these things, folks, we dare not become so confident in the flesh that I have this. I have it all figured out. I'll just pull myself up my own bootstraps, folks. That's not... And it's interesting because I heard someone the other day turn around and say, you know what? If we can survive 2020, we can survive anything. And I'm not a pessimistic person, but I'm kind of becoming that. Because I hear, well, 2021 can't be any worse than this year. I can't promise that. But we need to realize that each battle is its own battle. What I mean is, what happened was Israel, they battled Joshua at Jericho. And said, oh wow, we won that one. We can win anything. And we become overconfident in our abilities that we leave God out of it. And that's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Because the battles that are going on around us truly aren't against a virus, or it's not truly against those in office in Augusta or in Washington. The Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And we can't look at the outside and sum up the enemy and say, hey, we got this because the enemy is bigger or smaller this time. Because there's spiritual forces that's going on. There's really a spiritual battle that's going on. And I'm very fearful for this country in the direction that it's going morally and spiritually in the midst of all of this. And let me tell you something, it's the small things that trip me up. I don't know about you. It's the small things where Satan will throw up and he'll bring up these little things that he just knows exactly how to trip you up. We're up at Acadia this summer, and walking around the rocks and all of that. And so we're hopping along the rocks, and I was being very cautious of not falling through the craters and off the little cliff. You know, I'm wise enough to do that. And I was doing really good. I was getting kind of cocky. We had a bunch of kids running around. I was keeping up with them, which I felt pretty good at my age, to be able to keep up with everyone. Sort of jumping from rock to rock, being cautious, you know, telling the kids, don't watch, you know, don't step on the wet rock, you'll fall. So I was doing all of that. I feeling really good. And then I was walking up the trail and right by Thunder Hole. And I was walking all up, and this little tiny root was stuck up over the trail a little bit. And I was wearing my sandal, and the toe of the sandal caught on that little tiny. And I went down. Now, I wasn't hurt. I'm thankful for that, except for my pride. You know, of course, you got all these kids, and they're like, God, you found out on it, right? Just like, but I was overconfident, right? I made all the big rocks. I did all the, you know, I watched out for the logs. I watched out, right? It was the small things that tripped me up, folks. We dare not get overconfident. Now, because we conquer something big or something hard, just because we did those things, and when something comes along, we cannot drop our guard, because those are the very things that will trip us up. And you've experienced this in your life. Right? A stressful situation, you're going well, and then one little thing happens. One stupid little thing, and all of a sudden you lose it. You dare not get overconfident. Another thing, though, a lesson we can learn from the battle, and this is kind of related, but it's different enough I wanted to point it out, is that we've become independent. We've become independent. That I have this. I'm sure that somewhere along the line, you know, here Joshua's like, hey, we beat Jericho. Well, let me tell you something. Did they beat Jericho? No, God beat Jericho. And sometimes when God blesses us, it's easier to say, oh, look at what we did. Look at all I accomplished. And all of a sudden, we're taking credit for the things God has done. Maybe it's my gifts, maybe it's my abilities, maybe it's all these things where I can pretty much start patting myself on the shoulder. And folks, if it wasn't for God's grace, we would have nothing. But we get independent. The psalmist put it this way, he says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Right? We trust in our bank accounts. We trust in our health. We trust in all these abilities. We trust in all of these things. And somehow along the line, either we think we don't need to bother God with these things, or this is some, you know, we feel like we can only go to God with the big things. Why bother with the small things? It isn't the size of the enemy that defines the battle. Right? I mean, there's sometimes, it's funny because when things kind of go bad, have you ever had in your life where everything just kind of falls apart? And there almost seems to be a point where you have to laugh or you're going to cry. I mean, you almost get to a point where like, all right, one more thing, right? This, you know, I told you guys, you know, I locked my keys in the car going up. It was just one of those days, it's like, one more thing. All right, yeah, all right, just one more. What else is going to happen now, right? It's just like, we all had those days. But But like I said, sometimes it's the small things. It's the ahis in our life where we think we got this, we can handle this. And folks, we don't pray like we should. We don't trust the Lord like we should. And folks, we will fail and we will fall on our faces. 1 Samuel chapter 17 says, "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword or the spear, for the battle is whose? It is the Lord's. And he will give it into your hands. The battle is the Lord." And folks, the relationships we have, the personal problems that we have, give it to the Lord. These personal things in our lives, give them to the Lord. James is a real practical book. Book of James chapter 4. It says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such or such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." You know, James points to the businessman who probably does this every day. Every day he wakes up and said, "Oh, today I'm going to travel and I'm going to make this deal and I'm going to make this deal and I'm going to sell this and I'm going to buy this. And I got this, right?" And James says, no, hold on. No matter what we do, it should be quantified. Lord, if this is your will. Now, there's nothing wrong with having plans. But folks, we dare not leave God out of our plans. And one of the things I found in my life is oftentimes it's like I do something, then it kind of falls or fails or something like that. Then I ask God afterwards to help pick up the pieces. Right? You get it kind of that way? And God really wants us to seek him out beforehand. "God, what do you want me to do?" I think if we spend more time seeking out God's will before we do something, we'll spend less time afterwards picking up the pieces afterwards. Does that make sense? Spend more time praying before, saying, "Lord, if this is what you want, then allow it to happen." And it's funny because the Lord will lead and guide and direct us if we're listening to him. Even in the small things. I think I've shared this before. But the Lord really drove this home. Years ago, I was hunting. Now, I haven't hunted in many years because I haven't got anything in many years. So I just kind of gave up. I'm a hunter, not a getter. And I don't know what it is about me. Deer just do not come near me. I don't know if I smell. I don't know what it is about me. I have a son-in-law who deer just come up to him. He was up on his tree stand, and he had does come up licking the runs on his tree stand. And he's like trying to shoo them away because he just wants to get, he's one of these guys that can pick which deer he's going to get. So he gets these one of the massive racks on it. He's like, "Yeah, I was out today, saw 20 deer, but none of them were big enough." I'm like, "If it's brown, it's down. I'll shoot anything. You know, I don't care." And maybe that's why the Lord doesn't give me one, but I'm just like, I just have no luck. And so I was up there, I was cold, it started to rain, it was just miserable. And so finally, it was probably about 11 o'clock, and I'm like, "I've had it, I'm going home." And so I got down, got into my vehicle, and I just felt the Lord saying, "Go home this other road." And I'm like, I just want to go home. And I'm not one for joyrides, right? Does anyone like to just ride around and look? Yeah, see, I have to have a place to go. My wife likes to drive around, so pray for her. She's stuck with me. You know, so she was like, "Let's go for a ride." I'm like, "Where to?" "No, just go." Well, so she'll say, "Well, let's go up to the Martins because I need a place, right? So I need a Martins in Ellsworth." "All right, so I'll drive to Martins in Ellsworth, turn around and drive home." And she's like, no, I want to drive around." I'm like, "I don't do that well." I just don't enjoy that. So I just felt like the Lord said, "Go this way." I'm like, "It's out of my way. I just want to go home. And so finally, I'm like, okay. So I did. I said, okay, Lord. And so I went around this other road, and I was up in the middle of nowhere. I came around this corner, and there was a car that was flipped over upside down, and it had hit a telephone pole. The pole was snapped off, and the pole, the broken part, was thrust into the driver's side windshield. And so I pulled over, and I get out, and here's the car. I didn't see any blood, but I don't know how the driver survived with the pole there. The car, the hood of the top of the car is smushed, so I couldn't see in. And as I got closer, I could hear a lady moaning. I was like, oh. And we didn't have cell phones at the time. And I came up to the car, and her cell phone had apparently fallen out. It was by the car. So I picked it up. And where we were, it was just the Lord. We had a signal. If you guys have been around Maine, it's, right? And so I flipped the phone up, and picked up the directory. The first one was Mom. And so I pushed and called. I said, you don't know me, but I think your daughter is in an accident here. And she called 911, and everyone came. And I kind of faded off. I did find out afterwards that she just had some broken ribs. Luckily, the whole seat had pushed back. And so she was beat up, but she was all right. I had a chance to visit her in the hospital. Actually, her and her husband ended up coming out to church after she healed up. But I'll tell you, I was so thankful that I listened to the Lord. Because this is a back road that no one would, who knows how long she would have been there. Now, I wouldn't have done that. But I'm so thankful that I listened to the Lord. And folks, we got to be, as Christians, to a point where we are so dependent on God, even on the small things. And I'll tell you, if 2020 has taught us anything, that we need God even in all these small things. We dare not become so independent. Think that we don't need God or don't want to bother God. Folks, God wants just the opposite. Right? You say, well, this is too small for God. Can I tell you something? Is it that you want a secret? That all our problems are small compared to our God. So none of our problems are too small for God. Or whatever our situations are. But Lord, if we make that habit, when we wake up in the morning, God, what do you want me to do today? I'm available. Use me, Lord. And you just never know what he's going to do. And I'll tell you, through all this, God has done some amazing, really cool things. We had a Christmas Eve service, and a gentleman came up, and he handed me a dollar bill. And I was like, okay, well, thank you. And he goes, well, you never know when you might need a dollar. Like, okay. So I took it. And then he was walking on his way out. He apparently, I didn't give him the reaction. He goes, you don't remember me, do you? I was like, You know, it's hard to tell. You know, people have hats on, and people have glasses, and people have masks. There's not a whole lot to go on. He goes, you remember me from the post office? And then I'm a little slow. And then the light went on. And right before Christmas, I was in line, and this gentleman was trying to send a package, and he was digging in his pockets for enough money to pay for it. And I had to be behind him, and I said, here's a dollar. And so I laughed, and he ended up asking the postmaster who I was. And he goes, oh, he's the pastor of the Church of the Road, so he just felt the Lord want him to come here on Christmas Eve. Something small. Right? It's not that I would even, I didn't even really remember the event until you replayed it. That's amazing. Jesus says, if you give a cup of water in his name. Right? Christians, we dare not become so independent, thinking we have this, that we forget about God. The last lessons I want to look at this morning, the lessons of the battle, is become because of disobedience. Chapter 7 of Joshua picks up, that Joshua comes back after the battle and falls down before the Lord and says, "Lord, what happened?" I find it interesting he prays after, not before, right? This is what happens. It says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff.'" One thing I didn't tell you back when they took Jericho was God told them not to take anything. They were to destroy it all. Well, there's a man called Achan who turned around and said, "Oh, look at all this gold. This is too good to waste." So he took some of it. He disobeyed God. Bible says he took it and hid it in his tent. And because of Achan's sin, all of Israel lost. It's amazing the power of sin. And there are people who will bring sin into our lives that affects us all. And folks, one of the things I hope that we've learned throughout all of this is that, folks, we need to really evaluate in our lives, God, what do you want me to do? That the battle, what it does is really show our hearts. Right? So it's easy to praise God and be faithful when things are going well. Isn't it? It's a lot harder when things are falling apart. You know, it's easy to sing when 100 people are singing. It's a lot harder when just a few. And will I be faithful despite it all if I'm the only one? The Bible says it's required among men that one be found faithful. What's my heart? Are there things in my life that God is trying to get out of it? You know, 2020 has been really good at paring our lives down to the essentials, hasn't it? And in our lives, what are there things in our lives that God wants us to get rid of? Jesus is talking here in John chapter 15. In here, he likens us to a grapevine. He says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." That maybe in our lives, God has worked at and really started removing things from our lives. Maybe it's certain people from our lives. Maybe it's objects in our lives. Maybe it's certain habits that we've had. Maybe there are things that God has pruned in our lives, who he nipped it off for us, that we can be more fruitful, we can produce more for him in the season that comes. Maybe that paring down is necessary because we've been so bogged down by other things. And I thankfully, God gives a remedy. If we have sins in our lives, the Bible tells us in 1 John, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." I always like to put these verses together because you can say, "Well, we all sin." Well, I don't have any sin. Well, the Bible says, yeah, you do. Otherwise, you're calling God a liar, right? We all have areas in our lives, things that we do say and act and think that are displeasing to God. And maybe God has used all of this. Maybe God has used 2020 to get our attention, to prune some things out of our lives if we are willing to do it. And really, I divided this up really quickly into two things. One, to stop doing things, and then maybe we should start doing some things. So the first thing is to stop doing. What are those? Paul tells the Thessalonians, this: "Test all things, hold what is good, abstain from every form of evil." Maybe what we need to do is in our lives start evaluating in our lives where things are good for us, that it's good with my walk and relationship with God, and which things in our lives we really need to get rid of. Bible says that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Not everything's good for us. And one of the cries that I hear from the world that's so loud is because I can, I should. Because I want to, I should. And that's not the Bible at all. Test all things. evaluate. And maybe this year has been a lot of things have been wiped out of your life. And then maybe if 2021 becomes better, however you want to define that, that we're going to start taking things and adding them back into our lives. Now, I would challenge you, the things that start coming back into your lives, starts that start taking your energy and your time, right? And those your commitments in your life. As these things start coming in, evaluate, Lord, is this helpful for me? And stop doing the things that aren't, right? Stop doing things that are harmful. What are things that are hindering your walk with the Lord? Stop doing it. What are some thought patterns you're falling yourself into? What are some of the crowds you're hanging out with? What are these influences in your life that are really hurting your walk with the Lord? How about fears? How about being controlled by fear? Now, I want to be clear. Now, it's interesting we talk about the COVID. It's interesting. One of my first sermons when we got into this last March, you know, was be wise, right? I mean, don't be foolish. Don't go around licking doorknobs. You know, don't be going around. I mean, right? We need to be wise and prudent in what we do. And being cautious is not the same thing as being fearful. Really, what I want to define is our fear stopping us from doing what God has asked us to do. Right? And I've experienced that. You know, God says, hey, I want you to talk to so-and-so. I don't want to. I mean, you guys all think I just have a big mouth. But I do get tongue-tied. I do get, you know, like, I don't, you know. And fear controls of what God has asked me to do. Stop doing that. You know, what if I fail? What if they don't listen? The idea, you know, I've talked to someone and they said, you know, I want to get back in the church. I want to start doing these things. You know, I used to go a long time ago, but I don't want to know now. But I'm afraid it's not going to last. I actually had someone tell me that. They said, I'm afraid if I start going, you know, it's not going to last and I'll drop out. So I'll never start. I'm like, well, you'll never know unless you try, right? I mean, jump in. Don't let fear of failure stop you. And how about doubts? How about doubts? I think one of the most powerful conversations that I've had throughout this whole COVID thing is people will turn around and say, where is God in all this? There's a lot of people that feel like God has abandoned them. I prayed and God hasn't answered, right? I have one gentleman that my heart is breaking. I'm really praying for him. Because of loss in his life, he says he's lost his faith. Folks, the Bible says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He will not abandon us. And even though I can't see him, I know he's there. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God says this. I need to trust my faith than my feelings. And folks, if I lead with my feelings, I get myself in a whole lot of hurt. That's where the fears and the doubts come in, right? You guys have been there. And so in here, stop letting control by these things and start doing. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. I want to start with this verse because I think every Christian, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and there are things in your life that I believe the Holy Spirit has been working on you with for a while. And I don't know what those things are. I don't need to know what those things are, but you and God knows. And maybe going into this year, you can learn, you know what? I'm going to do what God asked me to do. Whatever this area it is. Whatever, maybe it's a sin that God wants you to give up. Or maybe it's a new discipline that God wants you to pick up. He wants to be faithful in. But this verse is for you. If you know you should do it, and you don't, then it's sin. So do it. Stop fighting the Holy Spirit. I'm glad I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not your Holy Spirit. I have no desire to be your Holy Spirit. Because he does good work. Surrender to him this year. Well, I'm going to wrap these things up here real quick. It says, start doing what? Start doing the sacred. What I mean by that is that we're really good at doing the secular. We worry about what we dress, what we eat, all those. We have a New Year's coming up. Everyone's going to say, hey, I need to drop some weight, which I do. I want to need to exercise, right? We want to look at all these physical things. Maybe this year, we're making improvements on our house, right? We got all these things on the physical plane. But I really want to encourage you to start thinking, what is going to help you spiritually in your life? What's going to bring you closer to God in your life? And start doing those things. Maybe it's reading your Bible more. Maybe it's being faithful in your prayers more. Maybe it's faithfully attending church. Maybe it's listening to Christian music. Maybe whatever it is, what is going to feed you spiritually this year? And start doing it. Second thing is being faithful. To be faithful. Be faithful to God and your studies, whatever it is. Don't be a fly by night. I talked to a lady who she goes to the gym, and she's been going to the gym for years and years. And she goes, she always likes it come January and February because all the new people sign up for the health gyms. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with COVID this year. That's going to be different. But she goes, we call them tourists. She goes, oh, because all of a sudden, you have this faithful group who's working on, they know each other, and all of a sudden, January, February, into March, all of a sudden these new people show up, and they don't know the rules, and they're not, it goes, but they're just all the tourists who are coming through, and all these people sign up for a year, because it's cheaper, and they only show up for a month or two, and then they're gone again. Lord, in my life, my walk with you, I don't want to be a tourist. Right? I don't want to be that fleeting. But Lord, help me be faithful. Talk to any pastor around the nation. And I guarantee you, one of the things they tell you, for churches to grow, all you have to do is to have the people who already come be faithful. Last thing is giving and serving, or serving and giving. Be committed to serve others. They're to be your minister. And like I said, it could be something small. Say, okay, Lord, you pricked my heart to do something. And help me do it in your name. The giving of myself, my time and energy for the things of God. Folks, 2020 has been a battle. It really has. And going into 2021, I don't know what that has in store. But I do know that God's in control. And I know the things that are done for him will last. And Lord, I want to be a faithful soldier for Jesus Christ. Let me learn in those battles. Help me not to be overconfident in my abilities, but Lord, to be dependent upon you. Help me not to be independent. Say, I got this. But you know, in all things, whether big or small, to be reliant upon God. And lastly, Lord, I want to be obedient. Lord, let some of the sins be left behind as I go into 2021. Let me leave behind the things that need to be left there. And Lord, help me press on to do what you want me to do going forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, the battle belongs to you. Encourage us and strengthen us, Lord. Challenge us with your words. That going into this next year, Lord, we can have victory in you. Because we're obedient, dependent upon you for all things. Lord, what you called us to is to just trust and to obey you. Lord, that's what I want, to trust and obey. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.